Monday passed a big budget. That was a lot of money.
Yeah, we did.
I've heard kids are not cheap.
No, it is. It is expensive. You're right. But yeah, we did have a board our normal routine October meeting, and you know, we started that meeting. First, I want to talk about just give an update on the COVID situation.
Please do. Obviously, let's do that. That's the big news for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's most curious about, mm-hmm. With how we're doing. And you know, it's hard to believe we're in our second quarter of school. You know, I can think back when we had our community meeting back in July and trying to prepare for the upcoming year, and no one really knew what it was going to look like. And so I think we had some great community buy-in and our staff and kids, and here we are. You know, we kind of just keep working through it, and it's gone very well. Our in-person enrollment, you know, we started the year, we gave parents the option if they wanted their child to be educated virtually. We had about 20% of our students started off the school year that way, and we asked our parents to commit for a quarter for staffing purposes, so that we would be prepared for that, so we could make a change if necessary. And now that we're into our second quarter, those numbers have shifted. We're down to about 14.5% of our kids are now being educated virtually. And so I think a big part of that, obviously, is I think, you know, parents were concerned, which rightfully so, at the beginning. And maybe there might have been some issues at their house where they felt safer for the kids to be educated through that. So now that it's gone so well, I think they've seen that we're not, you know, closing school constantly. We're having school. They've realized too, it's for most kids, that is the best thing for them to be mm-hmm. at school. So we have more of our kids back. We do anticipate probably after Christmas, after the holidays, we anticipate we'll probably get some more kids back to in-person instruction. But so we're now about 85 to 86% are being educated in person, and that's gone very well. Our virtual schooling is also going well, mm-hmm. and you know, that's something that's part of our strategic plan. We knew we needed to improve there. We knew that for some families and for kids, that's the best thing for them. They function better. They thrive better. And so we anticipate that's not going to go away for us. You know, like I said, we anticipate that numbers will go down again next semester in terms of that virtual enrollment. And then as we prepare for next year, obviously we'll have more time to plan for that. You know, this year we were obviously scrambling late in the year. So we'll be much better prepared from a staffing component. And I will update folks just to know, we started the year with our elementaries. We had about three teachers per grade level that were teaching virtually. Mm-hmm. And so as the students have transitioned back into school, we've had now at the quarter, we had four of those teachers that were teaching virtually. We've opened up new sections back at school. So because obviously when the kids came back in, we needed staff to come with them to balance. And so that's kind of the balancing game that we play. So I'm not sure exactly what that'll look like next year. My guess will be it'll be mm-hmm. something like probably a virtual teacher per grade level. Instead of having, you know, before we maybe had three per grade level, we might need one. And so because of the numbers. So that's something we want to continue to offer for our families, because we do recognize that is, for some kids, that's great. You know, for most kids, they need to be in school. That's the best thing for them. But for some, this is a good option for them. And I've had numerous success stories that I can share anecdotally. You know, some folks that might have been, they might have been in a homeschool environment, maybe wanted to kind of put their toe in the water on testing virtual because they really wanted their kids to experience some of our strong elective programs. Mm-hmm. And so they're able to do that. So that's gone very well. Our just in terms of the COVID numbers, you know, we keep those posted on our website. Mm-hmm. That has really gone well. A big part of that is because of our plan that we had going in and our buy-in. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, it's tiresome. I think everyone we're tired of the COVID. You know, everyone gets that COVID fatigue, or you get weary of it. And we understand that. And we're no different in terms of our staff and our kids. But we have to continue to follow our protocols, because obviously we want to stay in person. Our numbers are posted on our website. We update those daily. I think in terms of, because we post the numbers that how many cases there are for students and staff by site. Uh-huh. We also, which lists how many of those folks are, because of that, they're in an isolation period. And then we also have quarantines, those that have been a close contact for those that have had a case. Matter of fact, I recently was in a quarantine. I was had a close contact with someone, and I've experienced that. You know, it is frustrating. I was not able to go to the Bruin game Thursday night and didn't like that. And however, you know, you just try to do what can you do? I was so thankful that we were able to, I was able to watch the game through K1, you know, through the K1 TV Thursday night, and was able to get some things done around the house and continue to follow the protocols and check my temperature and back at, you know, now we're back. And so that continues to happen throughout our district. You know, we'll have some students that will need to be out for a bit or staff, and we'll just continue to work through that. We shared at the board meeting Monday night, you know, those county colors continue to change. You know, our county is now in an orange level 2. We continue to track those numbers daily. Matter of fact, we haven't posted on our website what the daily counts are. Mm-hmm. However, that is a factor in determining if we're going to go distance learning, but that's the kind of the last thing. First thing we're going to look at is how is it impacting our school? You know, right now, this morning, I think we have there's a total of 2 or 3 cases district wide. And then we have about 1.1% of our students and staff are either in isolation or quarantine. So obviously, we wouldn't close school down because of that small number. And so that's a number one factor that we're looking at those cases. And then also from the staffing component, because if we don't have enough staff that we can safely have school, that could cause us to go to distance learning. So we're also tracking our absenteeism, our student and staff. And this also gives me an opportunity to give a plug in too. We are, even when we're not in the pandemic, we're always looking for substitutes and bus drivers. So we did want to mention that. So if there's folks out there that maybe have some time on their hands that might be interested in that, we would love to have them come sign up as a substitute. It's a process. There is some steps to go through, including a background check. But if they do get signed up for that, you know, they can pick the school where they'd want to substitute. You know, some folks are more familiar with certain schools. Maybe their kids went there, or they have family there, or whatever that's close to their house. So we encourage them to do that. And also, bus drivers are something that we could always need help with. And so we encourage the folks out there that that's something that there's quite a bit of flexibility on both of those schedules. So we would encourage them to do that. So so once again, the absentee rates of our students and staff are major factors of us staying in school. The number of cases that we have and quarantines and isolations of our students and staff. And then also, you know, those county rates that we continue to track those. But so far, it's so far so good. And so we're very, very pleased about that. I do want to spotlight, we have over 30 contact tracers that when you do have they've been trained through Johns Hopkins, and they go through the process when there is a case to go through that contact tracing. And we understand that can be frustrating for families, for parents, when you find out, you know, someone's had a close contact with someone that has been tested positive, and they need to be quarantined. So we are thankful that our parents are supportive of that, and we realize that it can be frustrating. You know, I was frustrated when I got the call that I was going to have to be quarantined myself, but that's just something that we all need to work through so that we can continue to be in-person school. Because you know what, even though it may seem like, especially to a kid, it may seem like a long time, but it's really not. I mean, we'll get right back at it. And also, you know, our activities, gosh, we've had, it's hard to believe, you know, our fall, you know, we're about to transition into the winter activities. You know, we finished up some of our fall activities are winding up now and winding up some of our other ones that are coming to a close, and all the things that go around that. You know, I thought our kids, our high school kids, you know, they came up with the idea, for example, for our homecoming parade that we did, the drive-by parade, which was really, you know, when I first heard that, I thought, that's interesting. And then actually, obviously participated. Jennifer and I drove through it and had a great turnout. It was so fun. And so glad, you know, our kids are resilient. And so they're just working through that. So, and a big part of our planning with that, I mentioned, I want to thank our contact tracers and also Granger Metter and Carrie Eichelberry. There are two people that have really been heading up our pandemic response and have done great work for us. And so thankful for them. Thankful for our contact tracers to do that additional time working through that, because that's a lot of conversations with a lot of people, and a lot of times are giving them some information that they don't want to hear. But we have to continue to work through that so that we can do this, so that we can have school in person. So I would encourage everyone, if they get the opportunity, I think everyone appreciates us being in school. It's been so successful for us. But to, you know, to thank a staff member, thank our teachers and staff and bus drivers, and I mean everyone that just, because it takes everyone to pull together, because many people are having to maybe at school, they're maybe having to cover some classes more often because we've got people out or do some things maybe they haven't always been required to do. So we really are thankful for our staff, and hope that our community will reach out and thank them. That would be wonderful.
That is really something else. And welcome back, by the way. I know Thank that you. Had to be frustrating to say, oh, boy, here I am sitting at home.
Sure.
Just waiting for something to happen or not happen.
Sure.
And everything. But it's good to have you back.
You bet.
Some other big things coming up. I understand yesterday was kind of big in the world of football as far as the Bruins are concerned. We're in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The OSSA came out. You know, that's a hard, how do you determine playoff seedings and those types of things. And I know Coach Sport will be on the radio tonight and talking about specifics. And we are, even if that didn't happen, we're right in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
So they're going to make it where everyone will be, have the opportunity to compete. And so I was tickled for our kids because if that works out, so all of our kids, I know our kids will want to play. We'll want to keep playing. We've got a strong group of seniors and Coach has done a great job with them. So that'll be a fun thing for our kids to get to experience. And I'm confident we're going to set ourselves up these last few weeks where we can really have a good shot to hopefully make a little bit of run in the playoffs. Also at our board meeting, Tom, it was fun to highlight some of our kids, our national merit. Our national merit students, we had four this year, two that were go on as semifinalists and two are, commended. We also recognized our, we had a junior, Morgan Keene, who had a perfect ACT score. So that was very impressive. And then we didn't talk about the board meeting. This was a few weeks ago, but I think it was since last time I came on. The Wayside School was named a National Blue Ribbon School, which is only because of high performance. And there's only two schools that received that recognition because of high performance in the state this year. And so that's a really big deal. So really proud of everything that's going on over at Wayside. So, yeah, and you mentioned you started off at the board meeting. We did approve a budget for next year. And so obviously state revenues are down. And so hopefully the economy is turning around. I know last week the numbers that came out looked a little better. So hopefully, obviously, most of our funding, we rely on that state funding. So we'll just have to, we're projecting to having to dip into our fund balance to finish up this year. But we'll just have to, that's not known yet. We'll continue to track that, but we are preparing. We're thankful to have that cash carryover so that we are able to, we're not going to be making any changes for this year. We've already planned for this year and continue not cutting any programs or anything, but we do need to be aware of that for the future. And the big unknown is if there's going to be, whether or not there'll be any more stimulus money. Obviously that's something that hopefully will be a positive impact to us that can help us get through that. And I say us, all schools, all common education. So we'll continue to track that. We also, Monday night, we've been talking about this for quite a while, but the Will Rogers facility where past Independence, our friends over there, our good friends over at PTI, Claire Bartley and their team, they do a great job, private school for kids with autism. And they had been renting that Will Rogers facility from us for a few years, and they felt that was best for them because they wanted to expand and do some things for them to own the building. So we went through the process a year ago, and they purchased Will Rogers facility. And we have been renting an area of that for a tech department. And so that's obviously been a work in progress of where we're going to, how we're going to do that. And so what we've come up with our best plan is to move our tech department over to the Education Service Center, over to our office over there off of Jennings. And our board just approved a bid for that, went to the lowest bid. I think we had six bidders, and Rick Scott Construction, they had the lowest bid. And so there's going to be an addition on the south end of the building. We're going to add about 2,500 square foot and also do some renovations to the interior of the building for the server room. And so we're able to do that. We think that's the most efficient way to, we can consolidate those services. That was approved on Monday night. Hopefully get that construction started in the next 30 to 45 days. And we have a deadline of June 1 for that work to be done, because obviously when you start talking about moving those services, that can only be done during the summertime. And so we need to get that work done by June 1 so we can transition our tech department during the month of July. So July 1 we'll be ready to go. So we're excited to be able to do that.
This is no small task.
No,
I'm just telling you.
No, it's been quite a process. Mm-hmm. But we're pleased for our friends over at PTI. That's going to give them some more space too, where they can do some more things with that great program that they had over there, and also enables us to be more efficient. We can get everybody under one roof, and we need to update some of those switches and things. And so we're excited to be able to do that and get that moving forward. And then just a couple other things I'll mention. It didn't come up. It was in the personnel report. We mentioned it last month that our chief financial officer, David Boggs, he's going to retire at the end of the fiscal year, June 30 of next year, June 30, 2021. So he submitted those retirement papers early for us to make sure that we had planned to replace that position, or we could fill it, because if there needed to be some crossover, we make sure that we have that planned. And we hired Monday night, we hired Preston Burke to be our chief financial officer, our CFO. And Preston had been with us previously as our CFO. And so, and his wife teaches for us, and he left us to go into the private sector. And so he's going to come back to return to that position that he just held 3 years ago. So we're excited to, he'll start in June of 2021, but Preston will be coming back. He's a Bartlesville graduate and did a great job for us. And so that's a huge position for any school. And we're so glad to have someone with his experience, and glad for him. I think we really have a great culture at the school. And so it's good to have people that want to come back and be a part of it, even after they've left us.
Oh, congratulations to the FFA kids.
State winners here.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. We're so proud of them. You know, we're in the very early stages. We'll be talking about in the upcoming months about our next bond election, which will probably be a year from now. It's kind of what we're looking at. And with the same plan that we've done, similar plan about, you know, keeping our millage level flat. And so just continue to invest, take care of our facilities, and offer new opportunities for kids. And a big one of that is our ag program. We're so excited. We anticipate part of that bond election will be some facility where we can have some animals, obviously, because you can't necessarily have those on the same spots where you have schools. And so we're looking for working on those locations and working on some things where we can actually do that, for that program can continue to thrive. But Marty Jones and Cameron Dale, those advisors, are doing a great job, and so excited our kids are getting that opportunity.
Great. Superintendent McCauley, thank